Okay. We'll start off with anointed adverts. Right, now, oh, I love your cloak. I love my cloak as well. Oh, it's full of pockets. You've got pockets in yours, haven't you? I've got one at the back of my neck. And in that pocket, it says, the yoke of Jesus Christ is easy, and his burden is very light. And I've got one right down here, bottom of my feet, that says, this will be my guide. It will be my light. It will be my strength. It's right down there. What about yours?
Well, I just want to encourage everyone to come and buy. Come and buy this amazing garment that's got these pockets. Because this pocket here that I put my hand in the mornings, it just reminds me that I'm always in the presence of God, that nothing can separate me today or tomorrow from the love of God. It's just amazing. Oh, it's just such a beautiful garment to wear. Come and buy, come and buy. Don't waste your labour on what that doesn't satisfy.
Thank you. I like your bag. Yeah, mine's great too. What's in yours?
Well, nothing's in mine.
Hallelujah.
Look.
Yeah, there's nothing in mine either. Isn't that wonderful? I'll see you later for some more adverts, all right? Okay. I was asked about 2 months ago to speak. And I had this verse, Mark 16, verses 17 to 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I thought, oh, right. And I felt the Lord say, speak about our attitude to healing. So I wanted to run away because I'm the last person he should ask about that, because everybody knows me by the cough that I've had for about the last 30-odd years. And I said, look, it says in there they will speak with new tongues. Let me speak about that, because I love speaking with new tongues. I just love it. It's wonderful. And so he led me back to, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So here I go. This is the verse he gave me. So I'm going to do what the Lord says. I'm going to speak on that. So the first thing he said was, church, it's time, which is what Shine said last week. It's time. Ticka, ticka, tock, it's time. And it says that in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. It's the tickety-tock man. He's come. Yes, it's time. So, and then he reminded me of this about 10 years ago. We were actually upstairs roughly then, and I had a prophetic word, and he told me just to proclaim it, so I did. And the last line of that proclamation said that healing would flow out from here like a river, but in its time it would arise very slowly and very quickly. Okay. Then 6 years ago I had a word for me, which I didn't really share. And he said that half the church 6 years ago was not reaching their potential. And it was the women. And we had elders and their wives. And in many churches, you'll have a pastor and his wife. And he said there would come a time when women would rise up and encourage the men. And then he gave me a sign. He said this would happen when a man and a woman were in equal role leading this church side by side. And so we have Dave, who is a pastor, and Karen, who is a pastor, leading this church in equal role side by side. Karen is under the covering of her husband, and they are both under the covering of Almighty God. And when he said this happens, when this happens, slowly, sorry, it happened slowly over the years. But when it happens, something quick will arise. The women will arise into their destiny, and the men will stand like pillars in the church of God. These are my notes. I got to write them like this. So it's God's timing. So back to healing, because this is tied up with that. And most of us think, well, like a river, you must be joking. It's a fairy story, so I'm going to read you a fairy story. And this is what he told me to do. So it's the story of the enormous turnip. Once upon a time in the spring, an old man sowed some rows of turnip seeds in his garden. Oh, we all love turnips, don't we? No. As time went by, the rain fell on the seeds and the sun shone down on them and the turnips began to grow. Yes, we all love turnips. Every day, the turnips grew a little bigger, but one of them grew much faster than all the others. It grew very large, then very, very large, then huge, until at last it was enormous. One day, the old man fancied a plate full of turnip. He must have been mad. For his dinner, he took off his jacket and he put on his boots and he went out into the garden. So he gathered up the leaves of the enormous turnip in his two hands in the proper way, and he pulled and he pulled and he pulled with all his might, but he could not pull up the enormous turnip. But he was not going to give up. So the old man called to his wife, and she gladly came to come and help pull up the enormous turnip. And the old woman put her arms around her husband's waist. Then the old man pulled, and the old woman pulled, and they pulled, and they pulled with all their might, but they couldn't pull up the enormous turnip. But they were not going to give up. So the old woman called a little boy to come and help, and he said, yes. And so the little boy took hold of the old woman's waist, and the old man pulled, and the old woman pulled, the little boy pulled with all their might. No, it wasn't going to come. But they were not going to give up. So the little boy called to a little girl, hey, you come over here and help. Who, me? Oh, okay, I will. But she wasn't going to put her arms around his waist, the little boy's waist, oh no. So they all pulled together with all their might, and they couldn't pull up the enormous turnip, but they were not going to give up. So the little girl called to a dog. Woof, said the dog. And he bounded over, and he took hold of the little girl's skirt, and they all pulled, all of them. But they couldn't pull up the turnip. So now they were determined they were going to persevere with this. And the dog called a big cat. Meow, me. And she took hold of the dog's tail very carefully. And they all pulled. But they couldn't pull up the enormous turnip. Hang on, said the owner, said the man. This turnip is ours by right. It is our food. It is our bread. It is ours. We are not going to give up on this. So the black cat called a tiny mouse. Squeak, you need me? Oh, yes, we do. So he got hold of the black cat's tail with his tiny teeth, and they all pulled, and they pulled, and they pulled with all their might. And this time, they did pull up the enormous turnip. It came with such a jerk, they all fell down flat on their backs. And the enormous turnip fell on all of them, one by one. But after a moment, they all jumped up, they shook themselves and started to laugh. Hey, we were a great team, said the man. Well done. They carried the turnip into the house, and the old woman cooked it for dinner. And then they all had a lovely dinner, and they ate until they were full. And there was plenty left for dinner the next day and the day after. there was provision for all of them. Did you enjoy that? It's all right, isn't it? So they watered it. He had great faith in his watering. He knew everything would grow. The man had a vision. Dave's got a vision. And the woman came alongside. Karen's come alongside. The boy helped when he could have gone on an adventure, but he helped. The girl said yes to a yelling boy. And the dog joined in for fun, and the cat overcame his doggy suspicions, and the mouse helped. They became a team, and they won the prize, pressed down and running over. This is a fairy story. Healing isn't. It isn't. This isn't either. This is the Bible. We have to let the Bible get in the way of what we believe. We do. It's time. Those verses in Mark, Jesus said that we were given all of these things, the ability and the authority to do all of these things. And that these signs would follow those that believe. And the believers went out and shared the full gospel, the good news, and they prayed for people and they laid their hands on the sick and they were healed. So how do we do this? Well, the first thing the Lord gave me was unity, team. That's what a body does. No one is insignificant here, right? In this story of the turnip, that turnip would have stayed in the ground if it hadn't have been for the mouse. No one is insignificant here. And if people feel that they are insignificant, sometimes we can feel very secure in our insignificance. We can think, no, they can do without me because I'm not, you know. No way. We're all needed. We are all a body. We cannot do without you. Cannot. We're a body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. We're members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. The body is unity. I love speaking in tongues. I really enjoy it. I love it when the Spirit flows over my tongue. It's wonderful. I have wonderful times at home, and you now can probably hear me, but because I'm without the mic, maybe it might not be recorded if it's being recorded, because you see, I'm not using my arms and my hands. We need you as a body, because we will not be effective without all of us. Right? God's not leaving anybody out. Right? That could be fortunate or unfortunate for you, however you feel. But God loves you and he loves me and he wants us all of us, okay? The next thing he showed me was Matthew 13, 54 to 58. I won't read it all out. But the end verse says, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I think he was in Nazareth and there was a great unbelief there because they knew him. They knew Jesus. But the thing is, he did do mighty works there. He did. He just didn't do many. And it was because of their unbelief. Okay? Because they listened to their own reasoning and their own unbelief. Okay? So he couldn't do as much as he wanted to do because he knew they weren't listening. So, as a body, if there are people out here in this particular church being prayed for, we could all be in different positions, different parts, right? We could be thinking, if you're like me, you could be thinking, I'm not sure what I think of this. Well, I've never seen anybody get up from a chair. I've never seen anybody with their eyes open. I mean, I'm not sure. Well, let's look. Let's see what happens. Oh, see? Nothing happened. That's exactly what I thought. Now, if half of us thought like that, imagine all that unbelief rising up, sailing around this church, and somebody out the front is praying, believing. And the person stood there wanting to receive. It's exactly the same situation in Nazareth. Not many mighty works were done because of the unbelief. So what do we do? Well, this is what we do. Lord Jesus, I struggle with healing. And right now people out there are being prayed for. So I tell you, I ask you, Lord. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But I'm going to bless what's going on out there, Lord. I might struggle, but I'm leaving this building. I'm going to have coffee in a minute, but I'm blessing what's going on out there. I will not let unbelief rise in this place. I'm going to bless. That's what you do if you struggle. That's what you do. Because I tell you this much, God is true. We're the ones that listen to lies and unbelief. God's word is always true. And because we find it hard to grasp sometimes, doesn't mean that he's wrong. You see? So the first thing is that we're united. United in this. In God's healing for the river. All right? Number two. I've only got three. Number two is something we've been encouraged to do, which is having our minds transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of this up here, your mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transforming and knowing the wonderful will of God, that's what it's all about. In other words, what it's all about is letting the Bible get in the way of what I think. Let the Bible get in the way of what I believe. My thoughts aren't as high as God's thoughts. Let's look at a couple of basic things. The Bible says to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. And you say, oh, well, that's all very well for you, Pam. Well, I didn't say it, did I? No, well, me. It was Jesus, you know, Jesus said that. I can't help that. That's what Jesus said. He also said, don't worry about things. So what do we do? We worry a lot more, don't we? Hallelujah. Let's all have a worry club. Yes. I do it. These are basic things. Jesus is just like his father. If you've seen me, you've seen the father. So what did Jesus do? We're going back to healing. Well, he went around and healed everybody in sight that came to him. There was nobody that Jesus didn't heal. He healed everybody. So if he did that and he says he's just like the Father, then that means the Father does that too. Right? And the Holy Spirit agrees with Jesus and with the Father. So I'm afraid we're stuck here. Okay? So don't be conformed to the world's outlook. For example, God doesn't care. For example, God puts diseases on people, or God teaches us lessons through illness. God teaches us lessons through the Bible, through the Word of God. Right? Okay. We sing, nothing is impossible. I'm leaving out a lot. We sing, nothing is impossible with God. And actually, sometimes I've struggled with that in the past. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, there are people that reject you. There are people that don't, you know. And then I felt the Lord say to me, well, look, my Father, God Almighty, has made choices too. He made the choice to give human beings free will. He made the choice, and he stuck by it. He stood by it. He made the choice to love us. He made the choice to send his son. But above it all, God is unchangeable. He can do anything. And what he does best of all is abide by his word. I think it's time for another advert. Shall I put over to you? You want to talk about your cloak a bit more?
All right. Yeah. Come by. What I got here. When I put my hand in this pocket, I'm reminded this is on my left side and God's on my right side. Because the Bible tells me when I put my hand in this pocket that I'm seated in the heavenly places as Jesus is. So am I. Yes, Jesus is, so am I. I'm in the heavenly places and I'm seated at the right hand of God. This is what the Bible tells me when I put my hands in this pocket. Now, this pocket here, this one, it's right over my heart. Wow. And what do you think might be right over my heart?
I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I am. Because this one's really precious. It's in Galatians 2, verse 20. And this verse tells me that I'm crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. Christ lives in me. And this life that I live with Christ, and I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that amazing, Pocket, to have right over your heart, to remind you all the time you're wearing it, who you are and what you've got right next to your heart, in your heart. Don't you think everyone wants to come and buy what I've got? Why labour for what doesn't satisfy? Come and buy this. Come and buy this.
Without any money as well. Is there anything in your bag yet?
No. No, my bag's empty. It's like...
Have a look in mine. Is it the same?
No, there's nothing in your bag.
Hallelujah, there's nothing in my bag. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing in either of our bags. Yes! Listen, I have a pocket in my arm. And this one says, let the little children come to me. Oh, he's mindful of everybody. Let the little children come to me. You see, this cloak I've got on, it's light as well. Oh, I can't feel a thing. And it's full of pockets, and every pocket inside and outside, and it's full of promises. There's so many promises, it's amazing. It's really amazing. Finally, let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us fight the good fight of faith. I like the Gospel of Mark because it is sort of short and very concise and to the point. Okay? Paul, on the other hand, I've said this before, he's got huge, long sentences, massive sentences, and you're reading them and you think, hang on, I'm three quarters of the way through this chapter and there's not a full stop anywhere. I think when I meet Paul, I'll actually talk to him about this, right? He's full of words and long explanations, but my, wasn't he intelligent? He was so intelligent and gifted and learned. He had ability, he had status, he had everything. Well, he seemed to have everything anyway, but he was also hounded and battered and persecuted by Satan and by people. He had visions, he saw heavens, he's heaven, he saw Jesus. The list is endless. Oh, Paul. But there was one small verse that told me of his utter commitment and faithfulness to Jesus, and it's this. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, my race, and I have kept the faith. Do you know, with all these abilities, everything about him, the leader of the church, he was respected, but I know he went through terrible times, but this man fought the good fight of faith every single day because he said that at the end of his life. And he ran the straight race every day. It's every day, folks. It is. He did this all his life. He was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea. He was flogged. He was beaten. You name it, he seemed to experience it. But he fought the good fight all his life. And I read this. It's really got me. A chap called Pablo Casals. He was considered by many in his time to be the greatest cellist ever. And he was once asked, why at 95 do you still practice for 6 hours a day? Why? You're 95, why do you practice for 6 hours a day? And he said, because I think I am making progress. Paul said, not that I have already attained. Oh, no. Not that I am already perfected. Oh, no. I press on. For that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. I will keep on. I will keep on. I don't think I've attained. No, I fight the good fight every day. Every single day. We shouldn't be surprised, because after all, God's provided us with armour, hasn't he? You know, duh. We read about the armour and we think, oh, is this optional? No, it's not optional. I advise you to go and read Ephesians 6, all right? It's not optional. So what do we need to do? What has all this got to do with healing? Well, everything, really. First of all, we need unity. We all need it. We all need, wherever we are with this journey, we need to pray faith, right? Whatever's happening in your home, in your neighborhood, somebody asks you to pray for them. You step into your authority and you think, right, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, bless this. And you just pray. Yeah. We pray blessing. And hear whatever's happening in the prayer line, whatever you're doing. Pray blessing. Pray blessing. Do not allow unbelief. We don't need more faith. If God says a mustard seed's enough, why on earth do we ask for more? We need less unbelief. That's what we need. So don't allow unbelief to fill this atmosphere here, because atmospheres matter. Atmospheres do matter, because it mattered in Nazareth with Jesus. He did mighty works, but he didn't do many because of unbelief. So, right? Second, we need our minds transformed. We do. We need to realize that this really is the word of God, and start reading it if we're not, and start believing it if we don't, and ask Christ to help us. He will. And finally, it's not it. Well, we can do exercises, because Paul said exercise does benefit a bit, right? But it's fighting the faith. And is running the race, fighting the good fight. It develops character and strength. So we need to run the race, and we need to arise as a body and let the Bible get in the way of what we believe. We do. Last lot of adverts. Do you think the worship group could sneak up here? I'm going to go first this time. I've got one here, which is all about letting the peace of God dwell in me richly, because the peace of God has been bought for me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, your turn.
Okay. Well, I haven't told you about what's on the inside pocket here. And this one reminds me that sin has no dominion over me. I'm not under law, but I'm under grace.
Yeah.
It's a bit more. There's a bit more in there. But, you know, if I put my fingers a bit further down the pocket, I touch something else. And that tells me that I'm sanctified by the offering of Jesus Christ, the once for all, once for all. Once for all. For all my life. Whatever I've done, whatever I'm doing today, whatever I'm going to do tomorrow, or whatever I didn't do, or whatever I should have said or didn't say, everything, it's once for all. This is wonderful when I touch this pocket. I really like this pocket, because it reminds me of how clean I am in Christ Jesus. Do you like my pocket? Do you think you'd like to come and buy? Do you think anybody else would like to come and buy this amazing pocket? Do you reckon?
Yeah. Especially if you can buy without any money, which is what the scripture says anyway. And I've got one which says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I've got them everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere, these pockets. And what's in your bag?
Well, now you ask me, nothing.
What's in mine?
There's nothing.
There's nothing, because what sort of bag is it?
Well, this is the baggage that I used to carry, and it's empty because Christ carried it all for me.
It's the no condemnation bag. Yes! There is therefore now no condemnation. Well, you read it. Yeah. Yeah. And what's the robe? Should we demonstrate the robe? Come on, let's walk about with it. Oh, wonderful robe. You got one each. Of course you have. It's the robe of righteousness. It's the robe of righteousness that covers us constantly, always. We have all authority that Christ has given us in him. We are children of God. We are called. We are anointed. Right? We have ability. It's his ability, not ours. Thank goodness for that. We have all his promises, which are yea and amen. And we are living in his grace. And he never leaves us. And what's more, whenever we get up, wherever we go, we are robed. Otherwise, we couldn't stand for a second before Almighty God, could we? So we are robed in his righteousness. And now we are going to sing the advert.
Glory, glory.